Song is called My Testimony. And you know, there's sometimes we have a unique, each one of us has a unique testimony, right? It's our own. We walk differently with God. We have different struggles. But there's times when he asks us to be very vocal and loud about our testimony, to proclaim it from the hilltops. But a lot of the time, he simply asks us to live our lives in such a way that those around us see something different. Amen? And so I hope that that's your journey and that you, there's times when you do great at it and there's probably some times where you fail at it. But he's there and he always wants us to have an answer for those when they question us why we seem different, that we would have those answers for our faith and why we believe what we do. Amen. So let's sing this song out.
Resurrection power.
So Kirtland had some stuff going on yesterday, and he was preaching, so we gave him a break from the drums. But I always say, I don't mind doing the beat, buddy, but I do miss him when it's not. Because sometimes the songs, you have to feel it, you know, and the beat, buddy, just doesn't give me any leeway there. And we can't turn it up when we want to pound on it, you know, when he wants to get really loud. So just bear with us this morning. It's fine. It's just I do appreciate what he does. I hope you guys do, because it's really a blessing that we have, even the music that we have and the instruments and the people that we have here. I feel really grateful to be part of that, that we have a church that allows us to do those things and new songs and stuff like that. So I hope that works for you guys too. You know, there's many times, so many ups and downs in our walk. There's frustrating times, there's victories, there's happy times, there's sad times, and things when we just simply go, I don't know what's going on, God, I need you. But we always have someone to go to, amen? We can run to the Father, fall into his grace on our face, and humbly ask him to just hold us and be with us, right? Amen? So if you guys remember this song, we haven't done it in a little while, it's called Run to the Father. done this song in actually quite a while. It's called Living Hope. I hope you're thankful and you understand that we serve a living God. You know, that's the difference between us and some of the gods that have gone over the centuries and the carven images and things like that. We serve a living God that's alive and well and holds the power. And we can hold that power, that resurrection power in our lives. Amen. You guys remember this song? Just sing it out.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living. Could imagine so great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. My living hope, oh God.
This one's a new one. We did this, I think, maybe 4 weeks ago. And I got such a response from this one, and I'm not really sure why. Maybe some people had never heard it. Just the words are really powerful. It's called Alabaster Heart. And, you know, our hearts are like an alabaster jar. They're delicate, but so priceless to God. Amen? And if we break our hearts, our lives, over Him, He's going to do so much more for us. If we just, every drop of our lives, as this verse says, let it rise like incense, my whole life of fragrance, every ounce broken at your feet. I think we struggle with doing that, allowing us to be that vulnerable, to just allow that to happen, right? And that maybe we don't trust that God's going to do something with that broken jar, our broken heart. So if you guys don't know this and weren't here for last time, just take in the words, but if you were, feel free to just proclaim this truth this morning.
All my soul, all I own, you can have.
I was sharing with the first service, you know, it's interesting to me. I've worked in several different places, and ministry has always been a wonder to me and a beauty to me, and I learned so much from every leader, from every colleague, from every person that I've had a chance to work with. Before ministry, there was some people that I found kind of hard to like, and so you'd go into work, and you'd go, you know what, it's kind of a stretch. You'd get that pit in your stomach. You go, I hope I don't have to deal with so-and-so today. I want to tell you that I feel so blessed to get to work with this guy. And Kirtland is one of those guys who, no matter when we see each other, he has a perspective and he brings a calm to me and he helps me to laugh. And even when he's having a bad day, it's so beautiful because I care for him and love him. And I love that we get to work together. I think he's talented. I'm so excited about what God has in store for him. I love seeing him minister and use the skills and gifts that God has already given him, and I think that we are fortunate to have him. And so, you know what? Give him a big hand, even though he's ours, and let's welcome him to preach today.
Thank you. That's nice. What do I say?
Don't screw up.
Yeah, don't mess up. Man. It's been a wild weekend. I'm running on about 7 hours of sleep over two nights, so bear with me. It's been like between youth ministry and a couple different emergencies over the weekend. It's been interesting, but nevertheless, I'm thankful to be here. It's a blessing to be able to meet up together and to be able to go over a couple different biblical truths and see what God has for us this morning, okay? I really try not to. My words get a little slurry when I'm tired. I try so hard not to, but man, it's weird. Anyway, as most of you guys know, we've started up some of our kids' ministries and our youth programs and stuff like that safely. And my, oh my, has it been effective. Like, it's our numbers haven't been huge, but that really hasn't been the focus this time around since we've started back up. Because I really feel like our ministries have been so effective and like it's nothing we're really doing in particular. It's just like we're feeling God move when we're gathering. It's so cool. Like, so for instance, youth group is a wild time where we play games and we do a lot of crazy stuff, and it's just insane all the time. And it's wild, and it's always been a challenge for me. I've been here for almost 5 years now. It's always been a challenge for me trying to raggle them up and get them to calm down for a lesson and for a talk, because they're just 110% all the time. It's like this select few group of teens that just, they're going all the time. Anyway, it's always been kind of tricky to bring them in and to wind them down a little. This group has just been so right there with me when it comes to those real conversations that we're having, and it's been so cool. And so that's youth group, that's our teenagers. This past week with our kids program, which is also a ton of fun, we kind of break the night up into a couple sections. We do some songs with them, then we split them up, and we have games up here while we do a snack and a lesson downstairs. And so usually when I take them downstairs, we give them their snack, they eat, and then I do a little talk with them and so on, right? And so this week, as part of my lesson, I thought I'd throw them off a little bit. And so I got them downstairs, and I said, they're getting their snack together. They're eating their granola bars and juice and stuff like that. And I said, you know what, this week, I have a challenge for you guys. And they're like, oh, this is new, right? And I was like, I'm pretty sure you're going to fail. And they're like, that motivates them instantly. Like, it's almost like when you tell them you think they're going to fail, they all team up instantly to destroy you. Like they know that okay, this guy's going down because he doesn't think we can do it, right? They don't even know the challenges yet. Anyway, I told them, so here's what we're going to do. I said, I'm going to have one of our leaders, Kaylee, she's going to take a tray of supplies, right? And I had this written down so I would word it the right way, right? I said, Kaylee's going to be carrying a tray full of random supplies, like office supplies, like stapler, scissors, pencil, I think there's a deck of cards on there. There's a marker. Like, all these random things that I just wandered around the church and found. And I said, Kaylee's going to be carrying a tray full of random supplies slowly around the table for all of you to see. Without pencil or paper, you need to memorize everything you see in order to answer a few questions afterwards. And so the kids are like, we got this. Like, this is easy, right? Between the group of us, even if we don't have pencil and paper, because I hear them talking amongst each other, right? They're like, this is going to be easy, right? And I'm just like, I'm going to destroy you guys. Anyway, so it gets pretty crazy. So Kaylee walks around the table, and all the kids rush around to memorize, and they're looking at all the supplies on this tray, and they're memorizing everything. They can't write everything down, so they're saying words out loud, and they're all trying to pick up on them to memorize everything about all these supplies on this tray, right? And she walks around the room, and they looked at everything, and then she left the room, and they're all kind of getting a little quieter, but they're kind of chattering back and forth, like, here's what we saw, here's what it was, and they're, like, closing their eyes, and they're memorizing, and they're like, here's what it was. And I said, okay, first question. Let's see if you guys can complete the challenge. And I said, my first question is, what color were, and they're like, oh, we got this. I said, what color were Kaylee's shoes? And they're like, what? They're like, what? And they're looking at each other. I'm like, what's he talking about, Kaylee's shoes? And I said, okay, that's a tricky one. Here, I'll give you another one. I said, what color was Kaylee's mask? And they're like, what are you talking about? They said, you told us we had to memorize everything on the tray, not everything about Kaylee. And I said, is that what I said? And they're thinking back, and they're like, what did he say? And I wrote it down to make sure I would not mess up my wording, right? I said to them, I want you to memorize everything you see. And they're like, oh. They're like, he tricked us, right? And my point to that whole lesson, because, you know, they were a little frustrated with me, and I had to wind them down, because I told them I'd give them a prize and everything if they got it right, and they were really upset with me. But anyway, I brought them down. I said, listen, I said, you guys will still get a treat after. I just want you to hear my point here. The moral of my story is that it's easy to get tunnel vision in life sometimes, right? It's easy to be so focused on something that you think you should be focused on that you miss everything going on around you. And we turned it into one of those lessons where I'm like, you can't allow the negative things in life to cloud out the blessings. That was kind of the point that I wanted them to get. I'm like, it's going to be easy to focus on the hard things and the difficult things, but you need to be able to take a step back, look, and acknowledge things for what they are, right? As simple as I could say that for a kid's lesson, right? And they were getting that. And so I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, we're going to go around the room. And I said, I want you guys to tell me, I don't want this to be one of them things, what are you thankful for? I said, what is something that is a blessing in your life that you don't always acknowledge? And man, like, they didn't disappoint. They were sitting there, and it was like, it was pretty quiet, and they were like, my health. I'm like, cool. And they were like, there's a lot of places that don't have water, and we can just come and grab a drink of water out of the tap whenever we want. And I'm like, cool. Like, you guys are getting it. You're getting it. You're getting that there are things in life that we take advantage of, and then the everyday garbage can sometimes cloud that. And they were getting that, and that was cool. And so now, as adults, I kind of reflect on that lesson, and I kind of wonder if we fall into a similar trap sometimes. Do we get hung up on the frustrations of life to a point where we are consumed by those negative emotions? You know, it's like, do you ever get consumed by the emotions like anger or sadness or depression or anxiety? And like, I'm not saying that it's terrible to feel emotion. I'm just saying, like, do you ever get consumed by it? You know what I mean? Have you ever even gone this far, whether purposely or inadvertently, have you ever gone to a spot where things are going not so great and you're tempted to or actually do blame God when something terrible happens? Have you ever blamed him for the way that maybe your life is as a result of either something that happened or a result of, you know what, just it's just the way things are. This is how your life is. Have you ever been tempted to be like, why me? Why do I have to deal with this? Why is this something that I've been burdened with? Have you ever felt the desire to almost go at God with those emotions? That's a very real question. Like, I know it's a bit of a sharp turn from, you know, the happy little kids lesson, but the reality is, and I don't know, the reality is that an individual's faith is rarely ever shaken over an insignificant event in their life. Usually when we have these moments of, like, doubting or questioning God, it's not because everything's going great. It's usually because something crazy has happened, and now you're trying to cope with it, and you're looking at things to point at or justify things with. And sometimes we can attack God in those moments, you know, even if it's the thought of blaming God. Like, you get there in your mind sometimes, right? I read a quote recently that basically said that every believer will face a crisis moment in their faith where they feel God has let them down. You know, and some of you have likely had those moments. And I feel blessed to have gotten to know a lot of you guys to a point where I even have been let in on some of that stuff, those moments, those crisis moments that would have broken a lot of people. But you faced them. You faced them, and you didn't reject God because of them. That's beautiful. But some of you have yet to maybe experience one of those crisis moments in life. So I want to talk about this. It's good to prepare. It's good to be ready for those times. It's good to think about, what would I do in one of those circumstances where life has taken a weird turn, this weird thing has happened, and I don't know how to process it. Everything's been flipped upside down. What are you going to do in one of those moments? How are you going to respond when a tragedy strikes close to home? Right? There's a story in the Bible that talks a little bit about a fellow who felt like he was abandoned by God. And I think it's a really good story that we can pull some neat points out of in order to kind of work through this idea a little bit. And it's the story of Gideon, right? How many kind of a little bit familiar with the story of Gideon? We've talked about it a couple times. But he's one of them characters in the book Judges, right? And this would have been after the Israelites escaped from Egypt, right? And anyway, Gideon has this story that gives us a lot to think about when it comes to trusting God in the midst of the storm. And so to give you a little bit of backstory, I guess what's going on is Gideon's an Israelite who, pretty much, God has handed them over to the Midianites because they turned from God. And the Midianites are not great people. And they treat the Israelites like garbage. And the allies of the Midianites treat the Israelites like garbage. To the point where, when we pick up in this verse in a second, it's been 7 years since they've been living under this Midianite rule. Right? And this is in Judges 6. And so what are the Israelites doing to cope with life like this? They're hiding in the mountainsides. They're hiding in caves. They don't reveal themselves because at a moment's notice, with no repercussions, one of these people could harm them or take their stuff or just abuse them, right? And so they hide. And so they've been living life that way, and these are God's people. And so this sets up for this little encounter that Gideon has with God, essentially. So Judges 6, 11 to 16. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Again, kind of picking out here, Gideon's scared, and he's kind of rightfully hiding and trying not to get seen by the Midianites, right? When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon's just a young fella. He's hiding. He's in a wine press. And so Gideon has a little bit of a moment here, right? So here's his response. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they say, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian." This is Gideon basically saying, you know what? Bad things are happening, God, and you're asking something of me, and I'm not exactly very happy with you right now. I'm not happy with how life has been going, and I'm quite put off by your approach right now. The Lord turned to him, verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. And then a key part here. Am I not sending you? Gideon's response, pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none of them alive. And any of you who have heard that story know that it goes on to be a pretty incredible story, but I want to put our focus today as we talk about coping with the trials of life and coping with tragedy and coping with devastation. I want to talk about Gideon's calling. I want to talk about this piece of scripture right here that we just read, okay? So this is what I want to ask. What is Gideon's first response to God's calling? What does he do? What's his key reaction to God calling him to do this? Let's hear it.
Fear.
Fear of the Midianites, fear that it's not going to pan out. What else? What's he doing? How's he responding? Doubt. He doubts his abilities, but I think beyond that even, it seems like he's doubting God. God's ability to pull him through this. It seems like Gideon is dealing with a few different things. He's blaming God for everything that's happened. He's frustrated with God at the idea of everything that's happening and then God's approach to calling him into ministry. And yeah, he's doubting. Doubting that any of this is going to be able to work. It's kind of how it feels, right? And you know what I find interesting about that encounter? Not at one point in that piece of scripture did Gideon ignore or reject God just because of his emotions at the time, his feelings towards everything. He never rejected God, and he doesn't ignore God. Gideon decided, and I think we could take a very valuable lesson out of this, Gideon decided that it is better to have troubled faith over no faith at all. Gideon decided to be able to pour everything out to God. Even though that's not ideal, he decided to pour it all out to God rather than completely say no and reject and curse God. And I think that is something interesting to take from things when we face these trials in life. Because that can be a temptation, right? Like, ideally, life is perfect. Everything is perfect. Everything is flawless. We never have to question the motives of God. But without kind of, I guess, justifying doubt, because, you know, it's not great. Without justifying doubt in God, I would say that we are human. And sometimes we doubt. And that's just the reality of things. It's not ideal. It's not great. And if you can avoid it, that would be awesome. But we aren't perfect, especially in extreme times. And I guess I really, like, because again, crisis moments define your faith at times. I would much rather see you lay it all out before God before you decide to reject him, before you say, no, I'm done. Be able to be real with God. He can handle it. Again, not ideal. Never great to really fight with God, but in some of those moments, he can take it. He can handle it. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Some variations of that, cast all your cares on him. He can take it. He can take it. God can handle you at your weakest and most unstable times. So don't stop seeking him when things are hard. You ought to be leaning into him. It's going to help through those situations. It's going to help work through that to lean into him rather than start fighting him. For Gideon to be able to pour his heart and emotion out to God, it's like he's basically saying, you know what, God, I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't seen you in all of what's been going on over the last 7 years. It's like we've been hurting, and this has been really horrible. And so, God, I'm reaching out to you in hopes of an answer because we feel abandoned. We are hurt, God, and we have a hard time not thinking it's your fault. So how do you want me to respond to this? That's bold, and I don't recommend that, but God handled it. God didn't decide that Gideon wasn't worth using in ministry. No, it's not the greatest attitude to have towards God, but at least his emotion is being directed towards God, seeking God. As broken as Gideon is in these moments, hiding in fear and trembling, he still sought after God, and I think that's a valuable lesson to learn. Troubled faith is better than no faith at all. Point two, because I kind of got 3 points that I want to pull out of this. Point two, and it's another neat part that I want to point out. We talked about Gideon responding to the call of God. What was God's response to Gideon getting a little bit worked up? It's in verse 14. And it's interesting. And I think there's something to be taken out of that. God simply says to Gideon, or the angel of the Lord, simply says to Gideon, in response of all his freaking out, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? Not very soft and fluffy and, oh, there, Gideon. And that is hard for us to be able to take. It's like Gideon's in a really difficult time right now, but God, in this moment, he basically is like, you know what, Gideon, I hear you, but more importantly, I need you to hear me. Know that I am God. I am sending you to perform a task in my name. Remember the order of things here, Gideon. I love you and you can't forget that. You have a job to do right now. So the hard truth that we ought to take away today as the second point, and it's not the last point because this is a tough one, this is hard, but we need to be able to accept the fact that God is not obligated to explain. That is something that can really frustrate you in a troubling time. In a time of tragedy or heartbreak, that hurts a little, right? But God is God, and we are not. And there's a reason for that. Reality is that the potter doesn't consult the clay. Why? Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. For my thoughts, God, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. The fact of the matter is that God is not obligated to explain anything to us, but more importantly than that, that should not be unsettling. God sees so much more than we see. God has insights and perspectives on scenarios that we could never even imagine. And so it shouldn't be unsettling that we don't have control. We should want him to have control. He oversees everything. Gideon thought, like, when we look at how Gideon responded to God's calling, Gideon thought that God had abandoned them, when in reality, God was approaching Gideon because he not only hadn't forgotten them, but he wanted to use Gideon to free them from their misery. And Gideon was so hung up on the surface level stuff that he couldn't see the bigger plan. We have to be able to trust God, even in the times that don't make sense to us. Which, I mean, you know, I say that. It's obviously much easier said than done. Because, again, hard times don't always yield the clearest of understanding either. But trusting him should be on the forefront. So, point two, God's not obligated to explain. Finally, this is kind of the last one, and this kind of helps. It's a healing reality to pull from this story is that God is not the source of the heartache and the pain. He's not the source of the heartache and the pain. This is one of the hardest ones to remember during our darkest times because we want to blame someone. And who better than the God of the universe? He did this. No. Our faith, as we said earlier, is often shaken most by bad experiences. Never forget what God's design was. Because I think we forget that sometimes during these really difficult times. God's design was not for you to experience pain or sorrow or heartache or death. Like, that all came from sin. Read Genesis. That wasn't the plan. And that's why there's a plan for heaven, because this isn't how it was meant to be. Like, there's a reason why we're told in John 8:44 that the enemy is the father of lies. Satan would love nothing more than for you to start assigning blame towards God for the trickery that he's pulling in your life and toying with your emotions. Like, he would love for you to start assigning blame towards the one who seeks to redeem you for heaven. The whole story of Christ. He would love for you to start assigning blame toward the one who came and died for you. He would love nothing more than for you to start assigning blame to the one who walks with you through it all. Because how sick and twisted is that? He's the father of lies. You know what I like to think about? What's even more comforting is knowing that amidst the chaos caused by the enemy, amidst the suffering that life sometimes has for us, God promises to walk with us through the fire and the flames, through all those trials of life. And I'm sure the testimonies would be unreal if we were to open the floor up right now of times where God walked with you through the fire and the flames. I think that's beautiful, and I think that's huge, and I think it's something that we need to remember. God wasn't going to let Gideon take this on his own. He was leading the way. God's not the cause of the heartache and the pain. Let's do this. Let's close our eyes for a minute, and I just want to reflect a little bit. It helps us to kind of focus a little bit when we're not looking around. So if you want to close your eyes for a sec, I just want to go over a couple closing points real quick, okay? I love Isaiah 41:10. And I've shared this with our youth group before because the world is a scary place at times. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let me ask you today, what circumstance are you dealing with? What circumstance has been kind of assigned to your life, potentially unwillingly? What are you going through that you have not allowed God to handle? What are you going through that you've decided is too big for God to handle? What have you dealt with, and what are you potentially dealing with that you've kind of decided, you know what, I got to work through this, and this isn't a God thing right now. I just need to figure this out. Like, there should be nothing going on that's not a God thing. Gideon, in the midst of the chaos and anger and frustration, still directed everything to God, seeking. So what circumstance are you dealing with that you haven't given to him? Gideon had to end up coming to this place where he realized that God was worth trusting. He had to realize that God was the only one worthy of being trusted with his life. Like, I don't know if you've read through that full story of Gideon. I think we're going to go over a little bit more of it next week. This guy goes into battle against thousands of people with no weapons. Don't talk about trust. He trusted God with his life and with the Israelites, essentially. Oh, it's wild. Do you trust him? Do you trust God with whatever's troubling you? Do you trust God with your heartache? Do you trust God with your work? Do you trust God with your relationships? Do you trust God with your future? Do you trust God to provide when there seemingly is no answer? Do you trust him to come through for you? Do you lay your sorrows and your hurt and your pain at the foot of the cross? Life is not always cookie cutter perfect, and you need to know that it's okay if your faith is troubled at times. By no means are you to stay there, but it's okay to be there. As long as you know that he is God, and he is God alone, for very good reason, you and I are not God. But he is for you. What does Scripture say? If he is for you, nothing can be against you. Nothing. Not life, death, evil, good, anything can separate you from the love of Christ. Scripture tells us. Hold on to that truth, not just during the good times. Yeah, it's good to acknowledge the blessings, but hold on to that truth that God is for you through all times. Life's going to go a whole lot better, I think, if you can manage to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thanking you for the blessings of life, the things that we don't always think about. And Lord, I thank you for being there through the fire and flames. You've proven it to me, and I'm sure you've proven it to many in this room here today, that you are not just the God of the blessings, but you are the God that walks us through the flames. You have a plan to redeem us. It's amazing, God. I pray that we would trust you. I pray that each and every one here would trust you with their life and just trust you to lead the way, because you're worth it. You're worth it. You've proven it over and over again that you're worth trusting. And so, God, I pray that this week. I pray a blessing on everybody here, just that we all go and we're able to have a great week. And Lord, bring it all back safely next week. In Jesus' beautiful and glorious name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you guys for being here this morning. I stayed awake, and you guys did too. Good stuff. All right. Have a great week. God bless. And, yeah, see you later.